You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, Uncommon. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hello, New Point. Hey, I just want to tell you once again that I love you and I'm excited about what God is doing here at New Point. I really, really am. I can't wait for the fall. I know that time is moving fast and we shouldn't want it to go faster, but I can't wait for the fall because I know that God has some incredible things in store for us. And I just want to highlight one real quick, but just to remind you, September the 10th is Friends Day. It's Friends Day, and we're all about investing in people and inviting them. And we're going to kick off a series that's going to be called Trust Issues, When God Doesn't Make Sense. And we all have family, we all have friends, we all know people in our life who basically have trust issues. And so I just want to encourage you, be investing in your family and friends and make a special effort to get them there that weekend on September the 10th. We believe that everybody spends forever somewhere. And so we need to be intentional, we need to be passionate, and I just encourage you to do that. Well, today we're concluding a series called Uncommon, because normal isn't working. And today we want to look at a specific subject. We want to look at uncommon leadership. Uncommon leadership. Now, this is why this is so important. I think all of us here today would agree that there is a leadership vacuum in our world. And there is a new generation, some would refer to it as the next generation, that is craving for leadership and direction. And they want to make a difference. And they're making it up as they go along, because no one's giving leadership. And I believe that the church, that would be you and that would be me, those of us who name the name of Christ, should be giving that leadership in an uncommon way. In an uncommon way. You see, I believe that the church should be the best led organization in any community. In any community. It should be the best well-led organization. And yet some of us have struggled with the church. And we've seen the church not get it right, or maybe misrepresent Jesus Christ. And the reason why is because there's not uncommon leadership there. And we have to own that. And we have to embrace that. And so today we want to look at uncommon leadership. And there was no one who was more uncommon in their leadership than Jesus Christ. He's the greatest leader that ever walked on planet Earth. We can read all of the leadership books we want to. I've bought them, okay? But there's not a greater leadership book than God's Word. You begin to read through the Gospels and the writings of Paul, and you will just see principles just jumping out of how Jesus led and how he interacted with people. And so today we want to look at this topic. And so we need to understand what uncommon is again. Uncommon is extraordinary, unusual. Leadership, we're going to use the word influence. And so what we're talking about is uncommon leadership. Uncommon leadership. Now here's what we're learning as well. Uncommon equals uncomfortable. Now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, I'm not a leader. The reason why you're not a leader is because you're unwilling to be uncomfortable. Y'all okay on that one? You're a coward. Because all of us have leadership. Because all of us have influence. Now, there's different types and different levels of leaders. But we're all leaders because we all have influence. And the reason why we don't exercise that leadership, the reason why we don't see ourselves as uncommon leaders, is because it's uncomfortable. But here's what I want us to realize. Uncommon is uncomfortable, but it's also attractive. Whenever you've been around a man or a woman who has uncommon leadership, it is attractive. You want to be around them. You want them to lead you. Some of you ladies, you're looking for that in your husband, to lead at home. He might say, I'm not a leader. Yes, you are, sir. You're a leader. You're either a bad one or a good one, but you're a leader. You're either leading well, or you know what? You're not leading well at home. And I want to help you today. Because you're called to lead your house. You're called to lead your home. And so all of us are leaders in one way or another. Different levels, different degrees, different capacity. But as a Christ follower, we're all called to be leaders. We're all called to influence the world. That's why Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He's saying that you have influence. And we need to leverage that. And we need to demonstrate an uncommon leadership in our world because there is a huge, huge vacuum. Now, Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And I've shared this with you. You know, Peter and the boys are having a discussion with Jesus. And Jesus has asked him, who do people say that I am? Because everybody has an opinion about you, right? Do you know that? Everybody's got an opinion about you. They've sized you up, okay? They've labeled you. And Jesus understood that, and he was asking, hey, what are people saying about me? And they threw out a few things, and then Peter comes back and just hits a home run. I think he kind of stumbled upon it, but he hits a home run. And he basically says, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. And Jesus said, you got it right, Pete. You got it right. And then he goes on to say this, I will build my church. Now, we've learned that a church is not a place, it's a people, okay? It's a gathering. You know, we confuse it. We think that church is a building. It's not a building. It's people who have accepted Jesus Christ as the forgiver of their sins and the leader of their life. So he is saying, I will build my church. I will build a gathering. I will build a movement. And the gates of hell will not prevail. The gates of hell will not prevail. And the type of church that Jesus will build and is building and has built is this right here. Jesus' church invites, okay? It invites. Jesus invited a group of people to join him. We would know them as a disciple or disciples. And we have a vision here to multiply groups. So we want to invite people into community. We want to invite people into our groups. And then it not only invites, but it transforms. Jesus transformed these common men, ordinary men, to become uncommon ordinary men and leaders. Fishermen, tax collectors. And so what happens is when you're invited into this group, this church, this gathering, you get transformed. You get transformed. You are no longer the same person that you used to be. And then sins. And so Jesus' church, the gathering, that would be everyone who names the name of Christ. We invite, we transform, and we send. And it's happening on many different levels here at New Point. And that's why we have groups for our children ministry. That's why we have groups for our high school ministry. That's why we have groups for adults. We're inviting people to come and to be transformed. And then send them out and let them repeat the process. Now, I want you to hear this story because this is powerful. And this is what I want you to get today because it's happening all throughout New Point, and I'm going to challenge you and invite you to be able to experience this uncommon leadership. Let's check out the screen.
I've been a group leader for 6 years. I'm a high school teacher, so I really like the high school environment a little bit better. I feel like I can relate a little bit better to that age group. I'm with current seniors, but I started with this group as freshmen. I just knew I wanted to serve somewhere, and I felt like it was a good fit for me. I think we all struggle with feeling inadequate sometimes, but God can use you in different ways to grow you that you didn't ever think you could do. I think when you have a small group leader that's committed and builds those relationships with those girls, it's not only going to help to grow the leader's faith, but it's going to lead those girls in searching as well. And hopefully, because of what they've gained from having a small group leader, then they're going to choose to do that as well, whether it's in the method of being a small group leader or just investing in the church, volunteering other ways. I know a lot of my girls serve as middle school small group leaders themselves or also in Rainforest or Velocity serving as well. So when you invest in them and then you see them turn back and invest in your own kids, it's pretty awesome. I would say to the person who's considering getting involved, just do it. They're super encouraging. It's a great environment. It's a great community, so you definitely want to get involved. When you're dealing with students, and especially like this is the next generation, so if you can invest in them and then have them use their gifts for the next generation, it's an amazing feeling. Again, I felt when I started that I was not qualified, but God will use you, and there are amazing people that you can learn from. I've grown so much in the girls and how what they've taught me too, but it's awesome to see, to feel like you're making an investment that's going to be for the kingdom later. So typically they try to have two people serving as a small group leader together so that if there is an issue, you know, most of us have families. I said I have a 12 and 10 year old daughter as well. Then you don't have it all to yourself. And these small group leaders, they really do love your children. I love my girls. And you know, it is one of the most rewarding things I've ever done.
Is that incredible, huh? Let's give it up, right? You know what? That's the church. That's the church. When Jesus said, I will build my church, I will build a group of people who I will invite, I will transform, and then I will send them out to do exactly what I've done to them. And you know what? It's happened. That's why you and I are here today. Jesus made a promise 2,000 years ago. I will build my church. And all you have to do is look around, and you will see it all throughout our communities, churches, gatherings of people who march and come underneath the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus is a promise keeper. He promised, I'm going to build my church. 2,000 years later, we're here. You know why? Because he invited some guys into his group. They experienced transformation, and then he sent them out. And they did likewise. That's uncommon leadership. And Jesus never wrote a book, never had a TV show or a radio show. Okay? And yet Jesus had to continue to clarify what this uncommon leadership was all about. Because, and a few days later, after he made this statement, I will build my church, okay, he was dealing with people just like you and me, and they didn't hear him clearly, and so they started jockeying for positions, and they started jockeying for the corner office, so to speak. And Jesus had to bring them back and say, no. I'm not talking about doing this with common leaders. I'm talking about doing this with uncommon leaders. And here's part of their conversation. He comes back and he says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. What he's saying is, you know how common leaders act. They lord it over people, and they exercise authority over them. That's common leadership. All of us have been underneath that at one time or another. But he goes on to say this. He says, not so with you. That's not how we're going to lead. That's not how we're going to get this done. I'm going to call you to a whole nother level. I'm going to call you to uncommon leadership. And so he says, not so with you. And then he continues and says, instead, whoever wants to become great, or whoever wants to be the leader, whoever wants to experience uncommon leadership among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Is that uncommon? Absolutely. I mean, it was like, say what? The way we're going to get this done is we're going to serve people? Are you kidding me? I mean, where you been, Jesus? Haven't you seen that the way in which people lead is that they lord it over people and they exercise their authority, their position over people? And Jesus said, not so with you. We're going to be uncommon leaders. We're going to serve people. That's how we're going to get it done. And he goes on to say this, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. They didn't fully understand that at that moment, but they were going to see what servanthood leadership was all about. And that was giving oneself for others. And Jesus would hang on a cross and die for the sins of the world. And so what Jesus was saying is, I'm calling you to a whole different level of leadership. It's going to be uncommon. It's servanthood leadership. And here's what we need to understand. And here's what he was saying to his group. If serving is beneath you, leadership is beyond you. Uh-oh. Got your attention? See, that's why some of us are struggling in leadership. Because you know what? You're not willing to serve. You want to lord it over people. You want to be the boss. You want to be the one who is in charge. You want to be the one who makes the calls. And you're struggling and you're frustrating because you're just a common leader. You're just like everybody else. Y'all okay? And if serving is beneath you, then leadership is beyond you. The kind that Jesus calls you and I to. And so what happens is Jesus has this talk. He dies on a cross. He's resurrected. And what he does is he calls his gang, his group, back to him. And he calls them to a place on a hill. And here's what he says to them. And many of them still are thinking that he is dead. And here's what he says. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Yeah, I bet you it has. I thought you were dead, man. And now you are alive. You have conquered death. And he's saying, you got it. All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he says this, therefore, in light of that, in light of what I've been teaching you, and in light of the fact that I have all authority to empower you and equip you, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Go and be uncommon leaders. Make disciples. Make leaders of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them. It's what leaders do. They teach others. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And then he leaves them with this. This is unbelievable. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And he disappears. What do you mean? Surely you are with me until the end of the age, and then you disappear. What he was going to do is he was going to leave his spirit that lives in every man and every woman who has trusted Jesus Christ as the forgiver of their sins and the leader of their life. And that makes us uncommon, folks. Because all authority on heaven and earth has been given to him who lives in you and me. There should be nothing common about you and me. Because the living Christ lives and dwells within us. Now, there's some beliefs about uncommon leadership that I want to share with you. And then I want to give you some characteristics, all right? Here's what I want us to understand. Leadership happens anytime we influence the thinking, behavior, or the development of another person. That's why we can all be leaders. All having different capacities, all leading at different levels, but we all have the potential to influence the thinking, the behavior, and the development of another person. That's what Tiffany's doing in her group. That's why she's an uncommon leader. She's influencing the behavior and the thinking and the development of those girls. And those girls now are taking it to grade level girls. That's the beauty. We invite, we transform, and we send. You see, here's what we have to understand. Jesus is the greatest leadership role model of all time. He's the greatest role model. You know why? Because he did it all through influence. He did it all through influence. And that's why servant leadership is the only approach of leadership that Jesus validates for his followers. It's the only one that he validates is servant leadership. And so for that to happen in my life and in your life, and for you and I to be uncommon leaders, then what we have to do is we have to realize this right here. And that is effective leadership begins on the inside with our hearts. And I'm going to help us with that in just a moment. And so leading like Jesus, he's the uncommon leader, okay? Leading like Jesus is a transformational journey. You want to be an uncommon leader? It will be a transformational journey. And can I tell you something else? It will be uncomfortable. That's why most of us aren't uncommon leaders. Because tracking with Jesus is transformational. That means that I can't remain the same and you can't remain the same. But all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. And so he can equip you and empower you to do anything that he will ask you to do. But it will be uncomfortable. Are you all okay? And too many of us have chosen to be comfortable instead of uncommon. And our families have suffered for it. And the church has suffered because of it. And our community has suffered because of it. And our country has suffered because of it. Because there's not enough of uncommon leaders in the world. And I'm calling all of us to be that and to do that. And so, what does that look like? Let me give you seven things real quick, all right? Here's the first one. Clarity. You gotta have clarity, okay? You got to have clarity. And I think that if you're going to be an uncommon leader and experience uncommon leadership, you got to have clarity about three things. Let me give them to you. The first one is about God. You've got to have clarity about God. What you believe about God and how you see the future are directly related. They're directly related. And a small view of God leads to an outlook of despair. And so you have to have clarity on who God is. And let me tell you who he is. He's good. He's great. And he's generous. And most of us, you know what? We struggle right here. This is why we struggle with uncommon leadership. We don't have clarity of who God is. You see, here's what I believe. Your view of God is the most important thing about you. And if you don't get this right, you might be a leader, but you won't be uncommon. Not like Christ. You got to have clarity of who God is because it shapes how you approach the future. It shapes how you approach life. And then you have to have clarity about yourself or ourselves. We got to have clarity about ourselves. We got to know who we are. We got to know that we're significant. We got to know that we're accepted. We got to know that we're secure. Because what happens is how you lead flows out of how you view yourself. Do you get that? How you lead flows out of how you view yourself. And if you don't view yourself the way in which God views you, you will always struggle in leadership. And many of us today, I'm just being honest with you, okay? We struggle in leadership because we're not clear who we are. We're trying to be Jack. We're trying to be Joe. We're trying to be Lori. We're trying to be Lisa. God says, no, I want you to be you. I want you to be you. And when you clarify who you are in Christ, and this is uncomfortable, this means that you have to deal with your hurts and your habits and your hang-ups. And most of us are unwilling to go there because it's too painful. It's too uncomfortable. And so we lead from a distorted view of God, and we lead from a distorted view of us. You see, here's what I believe. The clearer you are about who you are, the more consistent you will be with others. You see, listen, the clearer you are about who you are, the more consistent you will be with your kids. You know what you say? Ha, I'm so inconsistent with my kids. That's because you don't know who you are. You're all over the map with your kids because you've never clarified who you are. And the clearer you are about who you are in Christ, the more consistent you will be with others. Listen to this. Here's another one. The more confident you will be about what you do. I mean, we got a bunch of insecure leaders today who aren't confident. You know why? Because you're not clear about who God is, and you're not clear about who you are. And the clearer you get, the more confident you're going to be about what you do and what you have been called to do. And the less concerned you will be with the opinions of others. Oh my. Huh? You see, the reason why we struggle in leadership and the reason why we're not experiencing uncommon leadership is because we're worried too much about what other people think. Because we're not clear about God and we're not clear about ourselves. Which leads me to this one. And that is, the clearer you are about who you are, the less confused you will be about your emotions. Oh, Dwight, man, I just am all over the map emotionally. It's because you don't know who you are in Christ. And so we have to come back and we have to realize that we have to do the hard work. It's hard work. It's uncomfortable work. And that is, we got to get clarity about who God is. We got to get clarity about who we are. And then we got to get clarity about our purpose. About our purpose. And I'm talking about uncommon leadership. You see, we're all created to thirst for a purpose. And every one of us have been hardwired to desire a reason for our existence, why I am here, and what is my unique contribution to the world. And you must be able to clarify this. And the degree in which you understand and feel and know your purpose for your life, the more it will affect every area of your life. It'll affect your mental, your emotional, your spiritual, your relationships, everything about you, because you will know why you exist. And so if you're going to become an uncommon leader, which all of us have the potential to be here today, you got to get clarity on who God is, on who you are, and your purpose. And I'm telling you, listen, all the other ones flow out of this first one. You do the hard work here, it will be uncomfortable. You do the hard work here, and I'm telling you, you will become an uncommon leader who will influence the thinking and the behavior and the development of other people. Because you will be salt and you will be light. So the first one is clarity. The second one is character. The second one is character. And this is huge too. Character is not essential to leadership. You can be a leader without character. But to be an uncommon leader, you have to have character. Because here's what we all need to understand. And we see this all around us. Your talent and your gift as a leader have the potential to take you further than your character can sustain you. And that ought to scare you to death. Because you're gifted and because you're talented, it can take you further than where your character can sustain you. And that's why we see train wrecks with leadership. Because the fact of the matter is, she was gifted and she was talented, she just didn't have the character to sustain that. He was gifted, he was phenomenal, he was a great communicator, he connected with people, but the fact of the matter is, he didn't have the character to sustain it. Here's what Solomon would say. Solomon would say this, the integrity and the moral courage of the upright will what? Guide them. Will guide them. That means that when you and I have character, we have the ability to face reality. Uncommon leaders face reality. They don't stick their head in the sand over problems, whether it's in their marriage, whether it's in their finances, whether it's at work, whether it's a problem, they don't run from them. They have character, and their integrity and their moral courage guide them right there. Look what he says, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them. They will fall. Now, how do you and I make sure that we're uncommon in this area of character? Well, above all else, you what? You guard your heart, for everything flows from it. Everything that you and I do flows from our character. It's who I am. And so what happens is we have to come back and we have to begin with the end in mind. What do you want to be known for? That's your character. What do you want said at your funeral? You know, I've listed a few things that I want said about Dwight, all right? You taking notes? That he was available. That he was dependable. That he was generous. That he was sensitive. That he was transparent. That he was loyal. That he was honest. That he was pure. That he was willing to make himself accountable to others. You see, I want that. I want that to be, do I do all of those perfectly? No. That's my goal. That's my aim, though. That's what I want to be said about me. That's what I want my character to look like. I'm working on it. And every time I do that which is right concerning those areas, it's reinforced in my life. And so we've got clarity, and then we have character, and then we have competence. Competency. Competency. Uncommon leadership not only experiences clarity and character, but competency. And you say, how do you become competent? Well, look at what Paul writes to the church in Rome. He says, by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. Now, he's talking here, and he's going to move in to spiritual gifts. He's going to move into spiritual gifts. And what he is saying is, have an accurate view of who you really are. See, many of us, listen to me, many of us, we lead with a lack of competency because we don't know who we are. At best, you're only good at two or three things. At best, two or three things. And we're so insecure that we won't invite other people around us. So we're doing five and seven things, and we suck at it. And so what happens, it conveys that we're incompetent. And the fact of the matter is, we're just working out of our competency. Because we're so insecure of having strong people around us. Because we don't know who God is, and we don't know who we are, and we don't know our purpose. And so Paul says here, he says, think of yourself with sober judgment. Understand that, yeah, you are gifted. Yeah, you are talented. But there's probably one or two or three things that you are. And so work in your area of competency. And when you and I work in our area of competency, what happens is you will become uncommon. You will stand out. Because you will be doing what God gifted you to do. And empowered you to do. If you're trying to be somebody else, then what happens is your incompetency will show through unbelievable, and you will drive everybody nuts. And so we want clarity, we want character, we want competency, we want courage. Courage is a characteristic of uncommon leaders. Uncommon leaders. Courage is to go first. Leaders go first. Leaders go first. Leaders aren't necessarily the one who identifies the opportunities, because there's a lot of people who can identify the opportunities. They're the ones who's willing to go first. They're the ones who have the courage to initiate, to set things in motion, and to move ahead. You see, what happens is uncommon leadership is willing to move ahead in spite of the fear, because they have courage. See, here's what we need to understand and realize. Wherever there is fear, there is opportunity. And wherever there is great fear, there is great opportunity. We learn this through reading the scripture. You know, the spies, they went in. And God said, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give you this territory. And 10 of them came back. And you know what they said? Oh, wait a second, man. We are like grasshoppers in their eyes. And two of them had uncommon leadership. They were courageous. They said, you know what? They are huge and they are big, but let me tell you about the land. Let me tell you about the opportunity. It's flowing with milk and honey, and I think we ought to go. But they took a vote. Never take a vote. Because the cowards usually always outnumber the ones who have the courage to do something. And so what God said is, because of your cowardness, because of your disobedience, because you were unwilling to exercise the uncommon leadership that I had given you, you will die in the desert. And only two of them were able to go into the land, Caleb and Joshua. And here's what God said to Joshua, knowing that the fear was high, but the opportunity was phenomenal. He says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. What did Jesus remind the disciples? All authority has been given to me, and lo, I am with you always. Do not be afraid. Listen, uncommon leaders have courage. Listen, fear will never be wiped out from your life. If you're waiting for fear to leave, you know what? You're going to be waiting a long, long time. Courage is moving ahead in spite of the fear. Here's what Martin Luther King would have to say to us. The ultimate measure of a man, or I would say of a woman, is not where he or she stands in the moment of comfort and convenience, but where he stands in the time of challenge and controversy. That's courage. That's dealing with it. That's because you have the character to face reality and move ahead. Let me give you number five quickly. Number five is commitment. Is commitment. An, a characteristic of uncommon leadership is commitment. That means that you have stickability, that you're not going to quit because you're going to run into challenges. You're going to run into problems. You're going to run into setbacks. You're going to run into disappointments. You're going to even experience failure. But here's what Paul says. Paul says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not quit. You see, uncommon leaders have a commitment to see something through, to see it to the end, in spite of all the setbacks, in spite of all the disappointments, in spite of all the hurts. You see, here's what we need to realize. Few things get done without perseverance. Few things get done without perseverance. Whether it's marriage, whether it's family, whether it's a team, whether it's the church, you have to persevere. It takes commitment. Let me give you these last two. The next one is compassion. Is compassion. And by the way, all of these characteristics you will find in the person of Christ. Compassion. Uncommon leadership demonstrates compassion, because what is compassion? Compassion moves a leader to demonstrate generosity to meet the needs of others. That's what compassion is. It moves the leader to demonstrate generosity to meet the needs of others. Paul demonstrated this when he wrote to the church in Thessalonica. And here's what he told the leaders there. Warn those who are idle and disruptive. That's one way, okay? Encourage the disheartened and help the weak and be patient with everyone. What's he saying? Demonstrate compassion. Understand who you're dealing with. Understand how you should respond. Be tender-hearted but tough-minded. That would describe Jesus. Jesus was tender-hearted, but he was tough-minded. He was compassionate. And then let me give you this last one. The last one is coachability. Coachability. Are you coachability? You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I get my orders from God. And what we have to understand is this right here. If you're not teachable, you're not coachable. And if you're not coachable, you're not usable. You might be wondering why you're sitting on the sidelines and you don't have more responsibility and you're just leaning against the gate. Ask yourself if you're coachable, if you're teachable. Because if you're not teachable, if you're not coachable, then guess what? Then you're not usable. An uncommon leader, see what happens. Every great leader, every great athlete, every great team has somebody speaking into their life, because we all have blind spots. We all have issues. Solomon says it like this, and I'm just going to read these. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. The way of the fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Here's another one. Plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. And then this final one. Listen to the advice and accept instructions, and in the end you will be wise. Wow. Anybody up for uncommon leadership? Always going to be uncomfortable. But I'm telling you, the rewards are incredible. Incredible. Kim Boa describes it as this. He says, for leadership to be passed on, it must be modeled. Jesus showed them what true greatness is in the kingdom of God and what it looked like. It looks like humility, it looks like service, and it looks like Jesus himself. And so here's my challenge to every one of us. Sign up to be a leader. Go to your director of children's ministry and say, you know what, I want to lead a group in Velocity. Go to the director of student ministry and say, hey, you know what? I want to lead a middle school group. I want to lead a high school group. Go to your campus pastor and say, hey, you know what? I want to lead a small group, because you know what? I want to grow in my leadership, and I want to be able to be an uncommon leader that influences the thinking and the behavior and the development of people. Let's pray. God, we love you today, and we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you have modeled this for us. You came here and lived, and you gave us a pattern. And I pray for all of us here that we would invite and that we would transform and that we would send and that we would allow you to build in us so that we can be the church, the people that you've called us to be, because a world at its worst needs a church at its best, and we need uncommon leaders. May all of us sign up and be uncommon, because though it's uncomfortable, it is attractive. And it's in Jesus' name we pray and we give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.